Mezrich has created his own addictive genre of nonfiction, chronicling fascinating stories of young geniuses making tons of money on the edge of impossibility, ethics, and morality. He's authored 12 books, including Bringing Down the House, the inside story of six MIT students who took Vegas for Millions, which spent 63 weeks on the Times bestseller list. His book, The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal, was adapted into the blockbuster movie The Social Network. While writing these true stories, he's done some pretty awesome things, like... During his research for Bringing Down the House, he taped $250,000 to his body and smuggled it through the airport security with some of the most notorious card counters in the world. While writing Ugly Americans, he visited exclusive Japanese-only underground sex clubs in Tokyo and juggled roadblocks and run-ins against the Japanese mafia. His new book, Seven Wonders, which we'll speak about today, is a departure of sorts, a high-stakes epic thriller that races around the world to unlock the mystery that links the seven wonders of the world. Welcome, Ben, and it's great to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Oh, thank you so much. I love it. Love it here, so it's awesome.
After all your nonfiction bestsellers, why fiction now?
You know, this came about kind of as a surprise to me. I've been writing nonfiction for a number of years now, and the director, Brett Ratner, in Hollywood, he just did the big Hercules movie. He and I have been friends for many years, and he was a producer on my movie 21 about the Vegas kids. And basically, he was on the phone with me, and he said, you know, I've got an idea for a story, but it's fiction. Would you be interested? And that's how it all started. So it was kind of just a conversation, and then it became Seven Wonders.
Well, actually, what inspired you to use the seven wonders of the ancient world and the new seven wonders as the core of your story?
Well, I was a geeky kid growing up, and I was always kind of obsessed with things like the pyramids and the Sphinx and all of these crazy things that we've built thousands and thousands of years ago. And what Brett was talking about was the seven wonders of the modern world, which were the Taj Mahal, the Colosseum, more of the modern things. And as I was looking into it, I was trying to figure out a way to link all of these wonders. And it turns out there was a way to link them, and that's essentially how the book came about, is I figured out that there was something in common between all of these different wonders of the world. But yeah, there's two lists, the ancient and the modern, and this book takes place kind of in both of them.
Did you get to visit all the seven places?
I've been to many of them. I've been to, I would say, most of the modern seven wonders of the world. The ancient seven wonders are all gone except for the pyramids, where I've been, which are wild and incredible. You know, things like the Taj Mahal, the Colosseum, Machu Picchu. I think these are things people should go see. Some of the others are pretty neat. Petra in Jordan is one that most people forget, but it's that giant rock wall.
Did you ride a horse in there?
I did, yes. Rode with a group. But yeah, I'm not really an Indiana Jones type of person. I mean, if you look at me, I'm very pale and weak, and I don't really go outside that much. And so I'm not, you know, diving in headfirst and climbing things. But if it's the right kind of tour, I can do it.
And speaking of Indiana Jones, your main character, Jack Grady, is a swashbuckling field anthropologist. And because, as you write, the lab is where you end up when you can no longer hack it in the field. So am I off base to say he's an updated Indy?
Yeah, I mean, he is definitely a modern version of Indiana Jones. My goal is to create my own Indiana Jones. He's, very out there. He's an anthropologist, but he kind of dives in. He's not the guy you see in a lab coat studying. He's the one who lives with the Yanomamo, or he lives with the Swat Pakhtun in Pakistan, and he goes from place to place. And as he uncovers these links in the Seven Wonders, he's able to sort of use the skills he's developed through anthropology to understand what's going on. And I actually took anthropology in college. It was sort of my minor. So I had spent a lot of time, you know, studying it. And then I wanted to sort of create a character that used all the things that I had learned.
The book begins at MIT in something called the Infinite Corridor. Is this for real?
Yeah, this is all real. There's a corridor that runs across MIT, and it runs for an incredibly long distance. And there's all these underground labs. MIT is a really interesting place. There's a lot of the things that we use today was developed there. I mean, but there's also this big military connection. You know, they developed radar there. They developed a lot of weapons that we use there. And so it's this environment where these incredibly geeky, super smart people work. But there's also kind of this darkness to it. I've always been fascinated by MIT. I mean, living in Boston, writing about the MIT college kids who beat Vegas. And so, yeah, the opening of the book takes place in an MIT lab.
Okay, I might mispronounce this, but what exactly is an enantiomer?
An enantiomer is an exact opposite. Basically, it's like two hands. If you place them together, one is an enantiomer of the other. So it's an opposite. I don't know how to describe it without showing it. It's kind of difficult, and it's more of a scientific term than it is sort of anything else. But the idea, the central concept of the book is that if you were to make a map of the ancient wonders of the world, which I said are all gone now, most of them, and you made a map of the modern wonder of the world, and you placed them on top of each other, you actually find that they are a match, which is very weird, because one of the groups was chosen by Herodotus and then ancient Greek scholars as sort of a travel log, and the other group was voted on in a vote back in 2006, 2007. So it's weird that there's a link between them. But then again, the mind looks for patterns. It's all about this kind of thing where you find patterns if you really look for them. And that's essentially where this starts.
How long did it take you to research this book?
I would say 6 months or so of pretty heavy research. My wife is essentially my main researcher. So we keep it in the family. Between the two of us, it was probably about a 6-month process.
The myth of the Amazons, the female warriors, is very central to your story. In your opinion, might they have actually existed?
Yeah, so the Amazons is interesting. I mean, they're considered mythological because there's no actual proof. But there's tons of ancient writings about Amazons, everything from Alexander's time and the dialogues that were kept back then or the different histories from then, all the way to, in the Brazilian rainforest, there's links to the Amazons, which is why it's called the Amazon rainforest. There's a lot of different places where you can find mention of them. There's no proof that they ever existed, but I believe they probably did exist. There probably was this warrior class of women that had their own, sort of culture that essentially was very fierce and then eventually died out. They would cut off one breath so that they could throw their spears better. They would steal men from opposing tribes so that they could continue to raise the next generation. But they probably did exist. I mean, they weren't Wonder Woman running around with invisible airplanes and stuff, but there probably was a tribe of warrior women at one point in time.
Speaking of airplanes, would it be a spoiler to mention Amelia Earhart?
I mean, listen, I don't want to give too much away because this book does have a lot of strange mysteries in it. And as we're working on the movie right now, there's going to be things that you're not going to necessarily know, even if you've read the book when you watch the movie. But there is a link to Amelia Earhart in the movie and in the book. Yes.
And are you also writing the script for the movie?
No, the script's being written by Evan Spilotopoulos is his name. He wrote Hercules for Brett, which was just out. The one with The Rock, not the one with the other one. So he's working on it right now, and hopefully it will go into production within, this coming year.
Will Jack Grady return in future adventures?
Yes, I'm working on a second book. I love this character. I mean, I feel like Indiana Jones was something that I grew up with that I love so much, and there hasn't really been a new one, And I've always wanted to see that. I've always wanted to see a new version of Indiana Jones in a world where we live, in a modern world. And so my goal is to write at least 3 of them. I'm working on book 2 right now.
And do you yet know who's going to play him in the movie?
I don't. There's been some mention of a couple people. There's a few people that I would love to see. I'd love to see like a Matthew McConaughey or someone of that kind of, gravitas, I guess is the word. Someone like that to play it. But who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens when we get the script in.
And are you also working on another nonfiction book?
Yes, I have a very big nonfiction book coming out this coming, I guess it's May, June, so spring, summer. And it's sort of been kept under wraps. It's probably the biggest thing I've ever worked on. And it's, I can just say it's about Russian oligarchs. But it's a true story in the words of people who've never spoken before about some of the events that we see in the newspaper every day. So it should be pretty cool.
You also write books for kids. Tell us about that.
I do. I just had a kid's book come out and I'm writing the second one now. It's another series. It's kind of an Encyclopedia Brown type series, and it's about a geeky math science nerd kid who's 12 years old, and him and his buddies figure out a way to beat carnival games. And so it's essentially a younger version of Bringing Down the House, and it's called Bringing Down the Mouse. They go down to a big amusement park in Florida and they take it down in this kind of scheme. It turns out most carnival games can be beaten by physics and math. So remember the little games where you throw a dart at a balloon or you try and get a coin on a plate? There are mathematical ways to actually beat those games. And so this is kind of aimed aimed at kids, and kids don't like math. It's very hard to teach young boys math, and so part of this project was about, you know, getting math and statistics into 12-year-olds. I think it was so fun to write, and I'm working on another one. I want to write about 10 of them. It's going to be like Encyclopedia Brown type thing.
Any final thoughts about Seven Wonders?
I had so much fun writing Seven Wonders. I hope people take to it because I want to keep writing them. I think when the movie comes out, I think people will really gravitate towards it. Listen, there's mysteries in this world that we really have to look harder at. And the Seven Wonders of the World are one of those things that everyone kind of knows, but no one really knows much about. So hopefully people will read it.
Ben, I loved the book. It was a great romp. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Anytime. Thanks so much.